Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most. And we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversation. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. So today on the program, we are talking about our morals and how they fit in with the rest of the world. The question for today is, have you ever felt like you're the only one with morals? Do you ever feel like the rest of the world is going in the opposite direction? It can be isolating and it can be frustrating, and sometimes it can even make us doubt our own beliefs and values. So we're talking to our panel about how to stay firm in our beliefs, even when the rest of the world seems to be in opposition. So here with us today are four friends. Why don't you tell us your name and where you go to school?
I'm Sam and I go to Westerville South High School.
I'm Caitlin and I go to Delaware Hayes High School.
I'm Emily and I go to Bishop Hartley High School.
I'm Eric and I go to Olentangy High School.
Okay, so here's the big question. What beliefs do you have that seem to be culturally unpopular?
That it's worth it to make time for youth group.
Ooh. Oh, good one.
Yes.
All right. What else?
Other extreme of the spectrum, there's, you know, the whole gay marriage thing.
Oh, yes. And abortion. And
Yeah.
The big one.
But, you know,
ones.
Youth group's important.
Youth group is important.
All right, so gay marriage, abortion, making time for God in general.
Yeah.
I don't know, any other ones that...
Waiting for marriage.
Yeah.
Waiting,
for
purity, yeah.
Those are the big ones. Yeah, those are the big ones.
I would say.
Yeah. Well, not even just youth group, like church too.
Right.
Yeah, like just God in general.
Yeah.
What about like cheating on tests or copying homework or, you know, just cheating in school?
Well, that's a no-no also.
Yeah. It's not really immoral. That's even like a law. You know, plagiarism is a law. It's not even... I mean, it is a Christian thing, but...
That's a good distinction.
But it happens still, so...
Yeah, well...
Right, but some... Don't you find a lot of kids are like, whatever, everybody does it.
Yeah. It's not a big deal unless you get caught.
Yeah,
that's... That's the mentality right there. Yeah. Right. Suddenly people get caught and they're so remorseful.
Yeah.
It's like, well... have there been specific times when you felt like you were in the minority? Like, what you believe is truth and you know it's truth, but you feel like, why am I in the minority here? What? I'm thinking, here's a specific example. One of my former kids from my youth program, he now goes to Ohio State. He was in a big seminar class at Ohio State, and the professor asked... I don't know why the professor asked this. It seems funny now. I'm sure there's something that I'm missing here. But raise your hand if you want to remain pure until you get married. And he was the only one who raised his hand. And he emailed me. He was so sad and so frustrated, and he felt so alone. And I had to remind him, first of all, you're not the only one who feels that way. You're just the only one who raised your hand. And second of all... the ladies are going to be looking for you, you know, because I feel like, well, I don't know. I've said enough, but can you think of any other examples, or do you want to comment on that specific example that I just gave?
I mean, just in general, props to him for having that courage.
Right.
I mean, that's like, yeah.
But why do we have to have courage about that? Why isn't that just the norm? Why didn't everybody's hand go up?
Well, because the norm has been changed from that to like, oh, well, if you're a virgin by the time you like graduate high school, then you might as well just become a nun or something.
But has that norm been changed? Or
I think that people like, or most people inside want to wait. They want to be that person, but they're afraid to be different than what society wants them to be, or what they think society wants them to be.
So I was watching the Grammys the other night.
Oh my gosh.
And I was starting to get so heavy-hearted about the rampant immorality, just like everything. I could go into a million different examples, but then I just take a step back and think, you know what? This is like the music world. This isn't maybe even the real world. Is it just that this is more visible? I guess that's the question I want to ask. Is it just that immorality is more visible and more, you know, it sells. So it's on TV, it's in the movies. But in real life, people aren't as immoral as we feel like we are?
Some Christian gospel singer got nominated for a Grammy. And
I think it was Natalie Grant.
Yeah. And her husband walked out like halfway through because they just didn't want to.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, and how come nobody ever like says a prayer or thanks God when they get their award?
Well, that one.
That's a tangent. I'm sorry. But
I mean,
I guess we're not here to talk about the Grammys. But my point was, maybe we're not as alone as we feel like we are sometimes. Maybe immorality is just more public, more publicized.
I don't know. I still feel pretty alone a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's some people that are hiding their beliefs, but to me, it's very clearly not enough people that everyone's doing it. I think a lot of people are just very immoral and just shaped by society, not shaped to society. They're shaped by society, I think.
Well, thanks, Sam. I was hoping for...
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. go ahead, Emily.
I think a lot of people are taught to make their own mistakes. And a lot of people use that for everything. And maybe they'll feel guilty later, but there's the whole YOLO thing going around. And that's just
hashtag.
We're doing right now.
And YOLO, for those who don't know, it's you only live once.
Yeah.
Things Jesus never said.
Yeah. You only live eternally once. I can switch it up.
But I think YOLO is so interesting because you only live once, like, so do stupid things and, you know, make the most of it. Or you only live once, like, so do it right and don't... Yeah.
Two different ways of interpreting it.
Right. Are there people who do refrain from voicing their honest opinions and telling what they really believe or how they... Like all the other kids in that seminar class who didn't raise their hand. I mean, do you agree that there were other kids in that class who felt the same way?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you're in college, you know, it's like, hey, let's get drunk, let's have sex, let's do drugs. But, you know, I mean, so when you're in a seminar like that, you know, if it's early on and you're trying to make friends or something, you don't want to be that guy who's like, yeah, I'll be pure or whatever. I mean, even though that's better. But.
So that was my question, I guess. Why? Why do people not stand up for what they believe? Why are people afraid to have an opinion about gay marriage that maybe won't be popular, or have an opinion about premarital sex that maybe isn't?
I think because the norm has like kind of been shifted to like being not that like our popular opinion, so that we're scared to share that because we just assume that that's everyone's opinion, so like we don't want to you don't have the courage to share your different opinion from what most people think.
I think a lot of us have been gotten in the pattern of categorizing our life. Like, this part of my time is going to be church time, this part of time is going to be friend time, and this is relaxing time. And we forget that we need to add them all together.
So profound. Yeah. So how do you do it, Emily? How do you add them all together?
I think the best way is to surround yourself with people that want to do the same thing or people that have already succeeded in that, so that you're not tempted at a vulnerable time to do otherwise.
Which is why you carve time out for youth group or for church or for, even though other people think you're strange for doing it, right? Yeah. We've sort of already talked about this. We have already talked about it, but I'm going to ask it again anyway. Does our culture encourage immorality? The answer is yes. We already talked about that. But yes. I guess the question is, why? Why is immorality encouraged and morality is not encouraged?
I mean, they portray it as being so fantastic. Like, oh, if you go out and get drunk and everything, then, hey, you're going to have a great time. Or, like premarital sex, like, oh, that's what real love is. Like, you're just going to go and you get to experience all these things. But, like, it's not.
But haven't we all heard a million? This is what I can't understand. We've heard a million stories of people whose lives have been shattered by these stories. You know, partying, drinking, sex before marriage, whatever. Like, literally, lives have been shattered. Why aren't those the stories we hear? Why do we hear that?
It's only a problem if you don't get caught. Or no, wait. It's only a problem if you do get caught.
Yeah.
Back to what you were saying.
And it also sells better. The immorality rather than the morality sells better because it's something that it attracts more people's attention because even the people who are making the moral decisions, it still sells to those people because they'll still look and like see these stories and you, like if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And start to doubt, well, gosh, am I a freak? Why am I thinking this way? What about you guys? You guys are really solid in your values, really solid in your morals. You have good groups of friends. You know where to plug yourself in. But are there still times when you feel intimidated about expressing your beliefs?
I know on social media, if I'm not one to start an argument, and typically I don't tend to join into an argument. Like, I know a guy on Facebook who's always posting. He's Catholic. He's pretty devout Catholic. He's always posting about things, you know, like, I pose this question. Why is the Catholic Church so misunderstood? And it's like, you know, if you're really smart, if you're like a bishop or something, and you think you can easily defend that against some atheist or somebody who would care to argue that point, then that's fine. But I will read through the comments between him and this other guy I know who is a big atheist, and he's so awful at defending the points that, you know, it's like, this is why some people, not all people, but this is why some people really disrespect the Catholic Church, because people like this are trying to defend it.
The Catholic is not good at defending the points, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, it's like, he will, instead of, you know, in stating his opinions and supporting him with facts, he just calls him out or something stupid mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
And it's like, you're not helping your case by poorly arguing this situation when this
or
other...
Or by being a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right, right. So one thing that intimidates people, you think, is a lack of knowledge?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't comment on the statuses. I mean, I know I could probably defend it a lot better than he is, but I don't want to get outsmarted and then have two people to only further his opinion that people in the Catholic Church have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's the awesome thing about social media, right? Like, you can research your answer before you post it.
That's true.
Whereas when you're face-to-face, you have to think fast on your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Caitlin, were you going to say something? Oh, I thought you were trying to say something.
No.
Oh, so what are some of the other things that intimidate you? Or are you intimidated? Are you not intimidated?
I've kind of grown out of the intimidation thing. I mean, like I've freely voiced what I think. I mean, on controversial issues, depending on where I am a little hesitant just because if I'm in a room with like everyone who's like pro-choice and I'm like the only pro-life person, I'm probably not going to want to like say something about that. Or I won't say anything like too crazy because I don't want to get like punched and like shoved in a locker or something.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Punched and shoved in a locker. So physical intimidation.
It's like you know, you outgrow that phase eventually. It's like if you can't accept me for my beliefs, then you don't need to be associated with my life. I don't care. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I like say like this is what I believe, but I'm not gonna like go and like pick an argument, which is what I was like,
yeah,
to say.
Yeah.
And it's not violence. That's just
I don't.
Okay.
I think for me, sometimes I don't speak truth because this isn't going to come out right, but because I don't have time. But what I mean by that is to form a logical argument that someone is going to be receptive to and someone's going to listen to, sometimes it takes more time than what you actually have. And if all you have is time to say one sentence that's just going to offend somebody, sometimes I feel like I'm better off just loving that person, you know? Yeah. But then I always struggle. Did I do the right thing? Should I have said something? So
yeah, I've done that like with certain issues. So
I don't think God's big on reading through your Facebook arguments and seeing if you defended it well or not.
Yeah,
you don't think so?
No, you get, okay, you get to the pearly gates. He's like, you didn't say this right. Like,
you want in? You want into heaven? First, come take a look at this.
Yeah, right.
He calls you over to his laptop.
Well, we talked about how immoral lifestyles are put out there more. And I think like how we're talking about being scared to voice our opinions about our morals is one of the reasons why we see immoral choices more often. We're too intimidated or scared to speak and educate people because we might not be as educated ourselves on the issue.
We also see people just hung out to dry when they speak their mind and it's a traditional or conservative perspective, like they get ripped apart. That's kind of scary. But, you know, the early Christians literally got ripped apart. So maybe we should toughen up, huh? Is it difficult to live by your moral code when people around you are not?
I feel like it's definitely more challenging. But I know for me personally, I'm not going to, you know, forego my morals just because the people around me don't feel that same way. But I will be more reluctant to, like, proclaim my morals, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. So it's there's a reluctance that comes with that type of situation, but not necessarily a
compromise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a difference between, like, yeah, I'm not really big on gay marriage, or gay marriage is wrong, don't do it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, right, how you present it has a lot to do with,
I'm sorry. That's not better
Sam
in my head.
Sam just, like, went into
Sam
radio.
Sam likes to hear his voice on the radio.
So, do you have friends that are receptive to... They might not believe what you believe, but you can converse with them. You can have conversations with them. You can...
Yes.
Okay.
I have a story. Okay, one of my friends who... Our morals are, like, on opposite ends of the spectrum. And she like, talks sometimes, like she'll, like, joke with me, like, hey, guess what, I went to church this weekend or something. And she does not, like, I talk to her all the time. Like, you, like, this is just going to end up hurting you. And while she hasn't really changed, like, really what she's doing, she's realized, like, how it's affecting other people. And she was talking to this guy, and he likes her and she likes him. And she like, cut it off because she knew that she wasn't good enough for him because she wants to do all these things that he doesn't want to do. And she knew that he would do them to be with her, but he knew that he deserved better. And I mean, we've been having this battle since, like, freshman year. So it was, she was so, and I was so proud of her. And, like, she told me, like, I can take credit for that because I tell her all the time, like, this is not, like, what is right. And it was just, I don't know if
so
that,
yeah, it makes sense, but it's kind of ironic, isn't it? Like, so she's not going to change what she's doing, but she's not going to subject somebody else
hey,
to
this
it.
This is progress.
No, it is progress. My head is spinning a little bit, but
she's changing kind of what she's doing, but not really. Like, okay,
we're with you. You don't have to give us all the
line,
detail.
She's getting the picture.
Okay,
so there you go.
Here's a quote I want you guys to comment on. Friends who want to remain friends shouldn't discuss politics or religion. Would you agree with that?
No.
Why are you all reacting so?
It'd be hypocritical to say you could talk about religion but not talk about politics. But it's. If they're a true friend, then, you know, they'll be accepting of your beliefs. And if you're a true friend, you'll be accepting of their beliefs, you know, if they're a Democrat, if they're a Muslim, I don't know, just, you know. It's hard.
Okay, so here's my question. Here's the follow-up question. Should you only be friends with people who share your values, who share your beliefs,
How are you going to spread the word of God if you're only with people that believe the same thing you do?
Yeah.
And I think it also being friends with other people that don't have the same views kind of gives you an idea of, like, the opposition, so you know where they're coming from, but that way you can also, like, figure out, like, how to, like, rebuttal against it. Like, one of my teachers and I, like, she's helped me, like, do that because before I'd be, like, so close-minded, like, I don't want to hear what you have to say, and then I'd just be like, why don't you, like, believe what I'm saying and not, like, change. But she's helped me a lot with that, and now, like, I approach people differently with how I want to, like, share, like, what is, like, truth and stuff like that.
I feel like it also helps you make your own opinions a lot stronger, because encountering someone and being friends with someone who disagrees with you, it makes you think, one, about their side of the argument, and two, about your own beliefs on that. It makes you do more research, and it makes them do more research, and in the end, it helps both of you strengthen your opinions.
Yep. A lot of my friends that have different beliefs than me we've spent a lot of time having good conversations about it, and I don't go into it saying, like, I'm going to change this person, but I think it's really interesting and amazing to see the transformations that they can go through if you talk to them and spread the good word and just love them.
Okay, so that was my next question. Have you guys ever, I mean, can you share any stories of times when you've held fast in your beliefs or held fast in your morals, and you've had, Caitlin, you already sort of shared your ironic story, but any other stories like that where approaching someone with love and approaching someone with truth and wisdom has made an impact in their lives?
One of my best friends, she's not Catholic. She's like a non-denominational Christian. We spent an entire hour wait at a Cedar Point ride just discussing differences. We talked about the Eucharist for most of it, and I was
which is what most people do at Cedar Point.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
This is Caitlin, everybody.
Well, that's what we did, and I just started quoting. I love John 6, so I can just quote it. So I just started bringing out all these things, and then we talked, and then we moved into Genesis, creation. And stuff like that. And so I think, yeah. So
do you feel, so that conversation had an impact on her or opened her eyes or?
Yeah, we actually, we had practice the next week. She's on my softball team. And we had practice the next week, and we followed up, and because we both had went and researched more about different things. And we didn't either of us change each other, but we both had a different viewpoint, I was saying earlier. And she's someone that we both have very scripturally, we have differing views, but having talks with her has really helped me gain with my strength, on what I believe, and saying what I believe, and I think that has really helped a lot. So,
yeah. In a similar situation to that, one of my best friends is also a non-denominational Christian, and he and I had about a 3-hour conversation in the middle of the night, just about all of his questions about and misconceptions about the Catholic Church, and. He was really opposed to, the teachings of the Catholic Church and, all the corruption in the Catholic Church and everything. And after that conversation, his eyes were open, and, he was, willing to not only accept what I believe, but I think he's actually looking into becoming Catholic. So there's a spark there that happens from it's simple things like that create that spark that end up making big changes.
What about in terms of morals? Have you had friends or people in your lives who were making bad choices? I always feel like, I don't know how to say this, but I always feel like, okay, we're talking about being in the minority. Everybody's getting pulled in the wrong direction morally. Are there people getting pulled in the right direction morally? I mean, maybe not because of your efforts, but just in general. Emily, were you going to?
I've had a couple different friends approach me about being suicidal, and that's a big problem in our society. We're often put down, and different things cause it, but a lot of people aren't strong enough to reach out for help, and I'm really grateful that they were. And just talking with them, telling them what I believe, sharing Bible verses with them has helped them turn around, and they were Catholic, but they strengthened their faith, and that was really good for me to see, and I'm really glad that it happened.
And yeah, those are the stories that, I think we just need to create those stories, you know? We can sit back and watch the world sort of crumble and feel like, well, as long as I'm going to heaven, I don't care what you people are doing, you know? that's not what we're called to be as Christians. As Christians, we're called to want every single human being to be in heaven, you know? So how do we avoid just sitting back and letting the rest of the world fall apart while we try to maintain moral high ground?
I think just by sharing what you believe and then just living it out and being like a living example can really evangelize other people, which is what we're called to do as Christians anyways.
Yeah, like just showing your faith through your actions is like the simplest way to show that to other people and to like spread your moral values, because if you're living that out through your actions, people will ask you questions. And if you are willing to answer those questions, it can make a difference in their lives.
And that is attractive to people. Mm-hmm. I think people are surprised at how attractive that is, because the rest of the world portrays the other side as being attractive. But really, when you meet somebody who's living a moral life, you know, and sticking to their values, people are drawn to it. Yeah. Dave is telling me we have to close, which makes me sad because we're talking. We're not done talking, Dave.
Gosh, Dave.
All right, let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you so much, Lord, for our faith, for our compass, for our friends who help us live faithfully. We ask you to help give us strength, Lord, as we try to stay true to our values, stay true to our morals, stay true to our faith. We ask you to surround us with people who will also help us do this. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt. And until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com.